Totally married.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Totally married.
The old ball and chain.
I do.
I do.
I'm tired. Maybe tomorrow.
Totally married.
Welcome to Totally Married. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Andy.
And we're married.
Totally married.
Merry Christmas, everyone. If you celebrate that holiday.
And if you don't, you're on the wrong side of the, you're on the wrong team.
Wrong side of history. Just kidding. I am just kidding. I only mean that in the sense that Christmas is wonderful. It doesn't really hold a lot of religious significance to me.
I don't even know what the religious meaning is. Something about Jesus, well, Jesus being burned somewhere.
No.
That's Easter, sorry.
Born.
Oh, born. There you go.
Jesus was born. I forget if Christmas is the day that he rose or the day that he was born, but I think it's been proven that it's not actually the day that he was born.
But I think it Christmas does mean actually, that because it's Christmas, so it's more Christ.
Right.
So that was when more Christ came to earth, because there's three Christs. Christ.
Father. Son.
The Son, Jesus.
Yeah.
And Father. The Holy Ghost.
Well,
what does Christ look like?
Jesus?
No. There's Jesus. Isn't the Father Christ?
No, Jesus is Christ.
So what's the Father look like?
Mr. Christ.
And what does the Holy Ghost look like? Has no one taken the time to paint their likeness?
Are we drunk?
Has no one taken the time to...
Oh, there are plenty of paintings of his likeness, and I will say...
No, there's plenty of Jesus.
But God is considered like, you know, think about Father Time. That's what people think God looks like.
Oh, wait, I think I know what God looks like in paintings. He's older.
You know...
He's older, right?
Yeah, he's an old guy. in many paintings depicted as old white guy, but Jesus was not white. Just so everyone knows. Why are you laughing?
What was he?
Middle Eastern.
He was Middle Eastern, but like a light shade of Middle Eastern, right?
We have no idea. Anyway, he was a great dude. Mad love for him. I'm happy to celebrate him, but mostly I'm just excited about spending time with our loved ones and being grateful for what we have, which I think is a lot of what Jesus was about. Anyway, moving on.
I don't think Jesus was about anything that Christmas has turned into. None of the
last year we found out that a lot of what Christmas is pagan. It's a merging of I'm going to screw this up, but there's something along the lines of the pagan religion was trying to recruit Christians, or Christians were trying to recruit pagans. I don't know, but basically it's a blend of pagan folklore adopted by Christianity. Because really, it's like, what does Santa have to do with Jesus? Santa wasn't one of the three wise men.
Oh, I thought...
There was a North Star.
Okay.
Maybe
I thought Santa was Jesus, but like on like a Halloween situation. Like he's dressed up for like a party.
That makes a lot of sense.
And that's where I thought eggnog came from the party.
Eggnog? What are you talking about?
We have
about?
A lot to learn about Christmas.
Eggnog?
Yeah.
Came from the party?
Yeah, that they were at.
What
Wasn't
party?
There a party?
When he was born?
Oh, he couldn't be Santa because he was born that day with Mary. Mary.
No crib
and
for
Joe.
A bed.
Mary
the
and Joe.
Little Lord Jesus laid down his sleepy head. The stars in the sky.
Hold on. So he was born in Christmas, and then...
By the way, they were
3
refugees.
3 months later, he's a grown man, and he's on a cross for Easter?
Andy, come
Or no,
on.
He hath risen around Easter.
Okay. Anyway, I love Christmas, and I'm sorry. Apologies to all of our Christian listeners who take this seriously. I respect that. I love Christmas and everything it entails. I'm a pro Christmas gal, and I'm loving this time.
Cool.
So before we get started, I just wanted to let everyone know that they might be expecting this podcast to end like next week and Totally Lame to be beginning and then this other secret thing. Truth is, everything's getting pushed a bit. So we're going to have a big explanation of what's to come in January, late January. There's going to be a big launch in early February. So stay tuned for that, but we're not going anywhere in the meantime.
Yeah, we're here.
I thought we were going to launch like first thing in the new year, but it just
didn't. Even put that out there on the podcast or anything?
I think I might have. I don't know if I did, but whatever. It was untrue.
And if you didn't, now you here's some behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
And some inside baseball for you.
Oh, I wanted to share with our listeners because Teddy was asking about it yesterday. Well, there are a couple things to talk about. One is what our answering machine outgoing message was when we were growing up. Very cute. For Christmas time. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, do it.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas, but the lames are not home. So please leave your name at the sound of the tone. We will get back to you as soon as we're home.
Wow. That, I think it's safe to say, was maybe top five charming moments of the podcast 2017.
I hope not. Secondly, tonight, I'm driving Teddy home for dinner. So her car seat faces back, which people might find surprising considering she's almost four, but it's actually totally exponentially safer to have them back facing if you can get away with it. And we can. She's never complained. So anyway, she's looking outside the back of the car and she goes, "Mama, oh, I just saw my very first ship that's going up into space." And I was like, "Oh, that's neat." And she's like, "Mama, it's my first one. This is so exciting." And I was like, "Yeah," assuming she saw Christmas lights or whatever, but she didn't stop. Normally with stuff like that, she moves on. But she kept talking about it, and I was like, "Uh-huh." And then I park the car and I get out and I look up, and there are what look like two UFOs gliding through this weird smoke, glowing bright smoke. I don't know what you want to call it. Cloud-like.
Very cloud-like.
All I could think was that those were UFOs, and there, all of our neighbors were standing outside looking up at it. So it just was such a like jolt that I was had totally written this off, that she's crazy, obviously, or she's, you know, 3 years old, blah, blah, blah. And then I get out and I look up, and sure enough,
there it was.
There are two UFOs. It turns out it was the Falcon.
Falcon.
Falcon 9 Iridium SpaceX rocket launch.
SpaceX. Changing the game.
Can I tell you?
What?
I was terrified when it was happening, but also kind of excited.
Yeah, see, you were like, "You got to get outside. You got to get outside." And I missed the ships, but I saw the aftermath and the huge, cool, glowing cloud thing. I wasn't scared. I was like, "This is cool." You thought they were coming to...
Well, I didn't know it was coming. And there's all this, you know, just in the back of my head, thread of like chemical warfare and nuclear and... Like when you see something in the sky that you're like, "I have no fucking idea what this is, but it looks crazy and it's big."
None of that happened for me. I wonder if I'm defective.
You might be, but I also did kind of, when we discovered that it was just a rocket launch for SpaceX Iridium Falcon 9.
You were disappointed, right?
I was a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
I actually thought that aliens had had enough of our bullshit and were like, "They need help. They are ruining this whole thing. Half of them have elected a guy who is one of the dumbest, most narcissistic, you know." I actually feel bad because I think Trump legitimately has dementia and is seriously mentally ill. I mean, I think he's always been a horrible racist person, but it's not just him that's the problem. But anyway, I did have the thought that aliens were going to come fix it. But no, just a rocket launch.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho.
The third thing I wanted to talk
to you. You said you had two. Let's move on.
No.
What's the third thing?
I said three.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry.
And I
missed that. I thought it was two.
That's okay. I wanted to talk to you about this on this Christmas.
Christmas time. It's that time of year.
How I'm pretty sure that I was a man in a past life. That's all.
Why do you think that?
Because it's twofold. One is I'm positive that I know what the sensation is of having a dick and balls hanging down there all the time.
I'm glad you said dick and balls, because I think one of the first places I would go to like poke holes in your thing is if you just said dick or if you just said balls.
Oh, no, it's the whole thing. Okay. The whole cocktail.
Okay.
Two, and we have discussed this, I think, years ago on the podcast.
Like to fuck.
No, I think I know what the sensation of getting kicked in the nuts feels like.
I do recall you mentioning that before.
And I don't know how I would know these things, but I have a very serious, visceral feeling of knowing what it feels like to have the weight, the warmth, sometimes the like swampy feeling, things like kind of falling in different ways. I feel like I know.
What's it feel like then?
Huh?
What does it feel like? To have a dick and balls.
It feels like you have, honestly, there's a comfort to it to me, which is interesting. There's a comfort level of having this like shroud that falls down over.
A shroud? What's a shroud?
I think that's a ball sack.
Okay.
Falling down. The balls feel like they have kind of a weight to them. Sometimes, I mean, they move a lot. Sometimes one's here, sometimes one's there, sometimes one's a little up, sometimes one's a little down, but there's this like, the best way I can describe it is it's like, there's just this comforting weight that's there.
And that's mostly in the balls or in the dick and balls?
It's mostly in the balls. The dick is more kind of, well, it's kind of more up. It's lighter. The balls are the thing that I really like feel like I know the dick is there. It's round. It's, you know.
I don't think you know what balls feel like.
What does it feel like?
You talk about this weight. I don't really notice my balls throughout the day unless I like, you know, sit on them funny, or if one gets like tucked underneath my leg.
Because you have really long balls.
I guess there's a weight to them.
Anyway.
It's very interesting.
But I do know what the feeling of is getting kicked in the balls.
Okay. Now, explain that, because that's a feeling I think I could probably explain.
It's initially a white pain where it's almost not even there, but you know it's coming. And then it comes in, and this is going to be confusing because it's at the same time all at once and also like a quick gradual.
Okay.
So it's a quick build.
Okay.
And the pain, the best way I can describe it is, there's a sweetness to it. The way when you smell garbage, there's a sweet smell to it.
Okay. And where is the pain?
Okay. Well, the pain is there, but it's also, for some reason, in your mouth. I'm serious. Like in your head, in your mouth.
You really had me. I think you had every guy. Mouth, I'm not sure. Babe, I would probably describe it exactly how you're describing it. For me, though, the pain is, it's not in the balls at all. It moves up, like, into, like,
your uterus.
Under your belly button, but, like, above your dick, sort of, but inside. That's where it feels like. Almost like if someone kicked it, that, like, your testicle shot up inside you and, like, got stuck in there. That's where the
pain,
that's, I think, where the pain is.
There's an ache.
Oh, there's an ache.
A real ache to the pain.
Yeah, your garbage thing's interesting. Well, maybe you had balls at one point. I guess you weren't a eunuch in a past life. You definitely had dick and balls.
Okay, so I love that you're...
You know, go on. Sorry.
Do you ever have any past life stuff? Like, you wonder things?
I haven't had any, like, super, like, yeah, like, I feel like, oh, shit, I bet I was this. My dad's had a lot of those experiences.
What does he think he was?
Definitely, like, something in, like, a old army, like, I'll have to ask him, like, in, like, a war, like a European.
I feel like
war.
A lot of people think, I mean, feel that their past life, whatever their past life experiences, is war centric. Men,
you know, maybe because it'd be so traumatic to be in one of those. Maybe you'd
remember it.
You know what BDT was telling me?
What?
BDT's reading this book, that it's basically like a statistical look at violence in history. And right now we are living in the most safe time, by leaps and bounds.
Wait, what is it called? Because someone was telling me, Pat Somerville read something like 2 years ago and was saying, children, you know, now,
mm-hmm.
like, if you were a kid, basically in any other time before the last 100 years,
okay.
it was hell. Like, to be a kid historically has been, I mean, it really was like survival of the fittest.
Right.
It was just hell.
Well, so the thing with this is, like, statistically, like, is it's almost like as close as like 150 years ago, we were 100 more times likely to be killed by a violent death than we are now. So,
well, that's good
times. We're making progress.
Yeah, we are.
Making some progress.
It's hard to see. You know, Melinda Gates just, I read an article or an interview with her. She's incredible. It's very hard to see progress when you feel this, like, you know, 9 million children have been just kicked off their health insurance and blah, 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 blah. And just like everything feels so cruel and greed driven. But I forget what the statistic was, but some astronomical amount of people worldwide in the last 50 years have been pulled out of poverty. Mm. I mean, we see, I think for us, it's also like adapting to this time where all the information is coming at us. So we're learning about like the slave trade in Libya at the same time that we're seeing that our leader is going to his golf club again and just is going to strip us of Medicaid and Medicare. You know, like, it's everything all at once. Whereas I think before, horrible things have always been happening, but you just didn't hear about it all.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's still an issue, like press coverage of what's going on, but there's a lot of good happening too. And I do think that there are more good people in the world than bad. And I think a lot of the people in the world who like are enabling bad things to happen actually mean well. I think there are a lot of dumb people in the world, which is not their fault necessarily. Yeah. So hopefully progress will continue. I think we're just in a bit of a bump.
Book's called Better Angels of Our Nature by Steven Pinker.
progress is definitely happening in the like women's realm.
Yeah.
That's been very exciting. I saw an E! News anchor just quit last week because she found out her male counterpart was making double what she earned. And when she went to negotiate, they didn't agree to it and she quit. Things are happening. It's good. That must have been a very scary mistake. That's pretty amazing. Or scary, not mistake. Sorry. You know what I'm saying. Anyway.
Yeah, good luck getting a job.
I'm sure she will land somewhere. Hopefully in the new year, I'll have some fun news. And my quest for... justice.
Yeah.
In my Me Too moment. Very excited. Woo. It's great. I think 2018, you know, everyone's saying it's going to be a shit year. I think it is going to be so great. Who's saying
it's going to be a shit year?
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, like on my Twitter feed.
Okay.
Which is almost completely consumed now by politics. I think a lot of people have PTSD from last year at this time, being like, let's get to 2017. 2016 was so rough because they thought Hillary was going to win and then she didn't. And it felt like it can't get worse than this. And I think everyone, despite themselves, hoped at least that the Republicans who said, sorry, we just got interrupted by...
I thought the dog was going
to
yak.
Yeah, she seemed like she was about to.
She took a crap.
Oh, good. Well,
no, she's been eating so much stuff. The kids have been just pumping her full of food.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, I don't even know where I was. What's going on with you? Oh, 2018. I was saying, I think a lot of people, myself included, hoped that even though Donald Trump seemed like a nightmare during campaigning, that he at least would act somewhat presidential. And I think this whole year, I mean, every day has been triggers, outrage, lies, blah, blah, blah. It's been like really draining. But I feel like now we have the lay of the land. We're going into 2018. We're going to fucking, like, for me now, activism is just part of life. It doesn't feel like this big, like, oh, I mean, I feel like I resented having to do it and blah, blah, blah. Now I'm excited to postcard every week and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be great. And personally, on a personal level, I mean, this year was great. We moved into this awesome new house. Got my first staff job. Have loved our family. Have been enjoying it so much. The kids getting older is so much fun.
Yeah.
So, how about you? What's 2018 looking like?
Looking dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good year. We'll see.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Exciting.
I got no beef with 2018 at all.
I just love this time of year because everyone kind of just hunkers down and you get to like spend time with people you love. I mean, some people don't, but we get to. You know, some people are like, Christmas is stressful because they have to go see family members,
right,
you know, blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
I keep saying blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry.
I know. I've noticed that a lot in the past like 4 months.
Really?
No.
No.
Let's do some questions.
Okay, great. Before we do, I wanted to share from one of our sponsors. Zola is a wedding company that will do anything for love. They are reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier. So with over 500 top brands and 50,000 gifts, experiences, and cash funds, Zola Registry has everything you love about your favorite department store, plus things like honeymoon funds, fitness classes, wine subscriptions, and so much more. It's super easy to use for couples and their guests. It looks great. Go check out this website. It's beautiful. Plus, the friendly customer service team will go above and beyond for helping you to pick out the perfect blender to walking your grandmother through the registry. And with Zola's top-rated app for iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch, couples can manage their registries on the go, and over 300,000 couples have. Best of all, your Zola registry automatically integrates into your Zola wedding website, so guests can seamlessly shop and get all the details they need in one place. I wish they had had this when we got married. This would be awesome. And I also regret that we didn't have the honeymoon fund. I think that's amazing. So to sign up with Zola and receive a $50 credit towards your registry, go to zola.com/married. That's zola.com/married to sign up for a $50 credit towards your registry. Woohoo. All right. Let's get into some questions. Okay. Oh, okay. So basically, listen, this question I read, when this writer, I'm going to have to paraphrase because I feel like there's a lot of detail here that they might not want included and I just don't want to risk it. So when this writer inner who is older now, went to a doctor when she was around 17 years old, and it was an appointment to remove a mole. And the next thing she knew, he was scheduling her for her first gynecological exam. So she showed up and all was normal, but basically this guy got really inappropriate.
The dermatologist?
I don't know. Maybe it was like just a general doctor.
Okay, sure.
Like in the way she's describing this, the things that he did, like doing a gynecological exam and then talking about sex, the way he was doing it was really inappropriate. It's not like he was blatantly, you know, this is how a lot of these guys operate, is they do stuff that makes you question whether it was crossing a line or sure. not.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he scheduled an appointment for her to get a massage because it would help with her muscles because she was an athlete. And so she went and
he's the masseuse.
Yeah.
No.
So,
oh geez.
Okay.
This almost seems unbelievable because to me, that's like you would get your license taken away.
Well, okay, so a few years later, when this writer-inner was in college, this doctor was arrested for molesting clients.
Jesus.
His medical license was revoked. He was placed on probation. He never went to jail because not enough women came forward to share their stories, the writer-inner included. She attempted to call the police and talk to them, but changed her mind and decided it was probably nothing. So now, 14 years later, these memories are coming back. I'm angry and sad I didn't do more at the time. From what I can tell, he has the option of reapplying for his medical license in 3 years or 3 years after his arrest. But I have no idea if he's currently practicing medicine. So my questions, what if I could have impacted his case? What if I missed my chance to meet other women and girls who went through the same thing? Is this how you felt, Elizabeth, after sharing your story about the voiceover coach? What can I do now to help myself heal and feel like I'm getting justice?
No, it's a great question.
I feel like this is in the zeitgeist. This is happening a lot. I think almost every woman I know has a story.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us who shoved these things or justified them or whatever, are revisiting them and just now processing them and realizing how negatively they really did impact us. Mm-hmm. And then it sucks to also have this pressure of having to be the hero and fixing it all. I've been feeling that way. Like this thing that I'm doing right now has taken up a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to do it. I feel empowered to do it. It's necessary to do it, but I resent it.
Yeah.
So, and I resent that women who have been victimized on top of that now are feeling guilty.
Right.
So I don't know what the answer is, and I don't think anyone can give an answer. I will say it's okay for you to do nothing.
Oh, like, absolutely.
It's okay for you to seek counseling for yourself. It's okay for you to do nothing. It really is. It has to be, because it cannot be on the victim to fix it. And I think what's happening now, I mean, and that's not to say I'm super grateful and empowered and inspired by the brave women who are sticking their necks out, but I don't like that it's become this, you know, guilt-induced thing for other women who aren't. Everyone has their own comfort levels. Everyone is there in their own place in life. And I know, like, if I weren't where I am in my life right now, I would not be pursuing this thing with this guy that I am. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say it's okay, whatever you do. If you want to research and see what the deal is with his case, you know what? It wouldn't hurt to call the police and just find out if there even are options or what the deal is. Calling and talking to someone does not in any way obligate you to do anything. In fact, I think police right now are so inundated with this stuff that, like, my experience has been to, like, get stuff done, you kind of have to be on them anyway. So I would just call maybe for your own peace of mind and find out what the deal is, like the questions you're asking about his medical license, etc. But okay, and she's also saying, what if I miss my chance to meet other women and girls who went through the same thing?
Is there a way to look into that? I mean, you found tons of people.
I have to say that's been, like, very healing.
Yeah. So how would she go about that? To see if
honestly,
there's other people out there,
like,
that she can talk
you
to.
You could post an anonymous Craigslist thing saying, has anyone had an experience big or small with Dr. blah, blah, blah in that area? I'm trying to connect with women who he assaulted or molested. Like, please contact me. And then I would say, like,
could you do that on Facebook?
Yeah, find me. Or, yeah, maybe do it on Facebook. And I would say, like, DM me on Facebook so that you can then see their Facebook pages and kind of vet them. Mm. That's sort of how we've gone about things. So I don't know, but be gentle with yourself. And just a reminder for anyone who's feeling this, which I think is a lot of women right now, none of this is your fault. None of this is our fault. It's all their fault. All of it. So we don't need to feel guilty for not fixing it. That's on them. All of the bad repercussions from people who sexually abuse or assault or molest or rape other people is on them. So we don't need to take that on. Okay. New question. Silly gifting question. Great. I'm an avid cook, and every year I put all the new cooking gadgets that I want on my Amazon wish list for Christmas. And every year, some of the things I have requested will be prominently displayed in my mother-in-law's kitchen at Thanksgiving. She has even gone so far as to say something like, I saw this on your wish list and had to have one too. While I don't mind her having items I requested, it just kind of takes the fun out of it for me, as I assume she bought one for me while she got one for herself. Am I wrong to feel a little upset that the surprise is taken away? But on the other hand, is she supposed to not use it till after she has given me one? Would love your opinion.
That's
interesting.
Very interesting.
I knew you were going to like this. This is exactly the type of conundrum.
I guess it depends if there's a theme, because, like, let's say I put one of those, like, you know, all the rage right now are those, like, sous vide cookers that, like, there's an app on your phone and you cook a steak perfectly, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
I haven't heard about that.
Oh, that's like the big race in food tech right now. There's a bunch of companies. So there's some, I think there's one that's called the Jewel and a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
But, like, let's say I wanted one of those for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over to Thanksgiving dinner and a relative had one. To me, I feel like I wouldn't put the pieces together, and I would just be excited that they had one.
But what if it's your mother-in-law who, and she says,
well, if she said it, yeah.
If that's, like, happening a lot.
That's annoying. It's super annoying. Then it's like, mother-in-law, just wait till after Christmas.
This isn't a thing we've encountered, because the way gifts operate in our families, our prospective families, is all very, like, what's the word I'm looking for? We have our systems in place, mm-hmm. like, fully. Like, your parents send money, which is great.
Yep.
My family, we all do Giftster, which is a great website, which at first it felt a little weird because you're, like, writing down everything exactly that you want and then people can buy it. But now it's just so easy. And in fact, I'm going to use mine way more, like, throughout the year, adding stuff to it.
Mm.
How do you feel about Giftster?
I'm not mad at it at all. I feel like the, no offense, gifters, but I feel like the website really needs a big overhaul. It's a little janky. It's like somebody made it in 2003. It fucking looks like shit. But the idea is great.
But people have real gift issues, particularly with in-laws and I guess parents. But they're like, it becomes a real thing where it's there's so constant gift tension.
It's so interesting. I'm so glad I didn't grow up in a house with that thing. And the like, people get so weird about gifts. Like if they give a gift and they don't see the person like using it later.
Right.
I could give a fuck if I give somebody something and like never see it on display in their house.
I have
never crossed my mind.
We have so many gift boundaries, but some people, if you have a person in your life who you love, who their entire identity is linked to being the perfect gift giver or whatever, and they're giving you, you know, there are people who like the person who gives them gifts at one point in time, she mentioned she loves owls, and literally every gift they've received for 45 years is owl themed.
That's why you gotta be careful.
And it's like, then it's, you're too deep in to be like, listen, I don't really like, I like owls, I guess, nothing against them, but I'm not like, you know, people have, there are in-laws who have no money, who are broke as jokes and struggling and like, spend way too much money on like crappy gifts that it's like, don't spend that money. Just right. Like buy, you know, there, it just, it's so loaded.
Right.
So I see why this would be frustrating.
Yeah. It does just seem annoying.
I would just,
but then again,
okay,
this but is, then again, it is like she's putting down a bunch of specific things on an Amazon wish list too.
Right. Here are my gift rules. One, oh, you're so bored.
Let's do it.
Do you want
Elizabeth's gift rules? I want to hear these actually.
Okay. Always accept a gift with grace.
Oh, great rule number one. Yeah.
Always.
Always.
Two. If you don't like the gift, feel free to re-gift or return it or get rid of it.
Oh, okay.
You have no obligation after having received the gift and the gift giver leaves to do anything with it.
Okay.
Three. Oh, I struggle with this one. It's a good one in theory. I think you can hint at gently, like if someone consistently gives you a gift that you're like, this isn't working for us, we would rather that you XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could drop that in gently once or twice, but if it continues, you gotta let it go.
Yeah.
This is different, obviously, because this isn't really about the gifts that's being given, but this reminds me of someone I know whose dad would always get them the gift they wanted and then get himself the cooler version of that gift. And
that's awesome.
No, I think it was really yucky.
Here's the new, you wanted the Nikon camera. Here it is. And I just got myself the one a couple levels up. Models up than yours.
Yeah,
that'd be rough.
And I mean, I think this went into cars, like stuff that it was hard.
Mm.
So I'm just giving examples of bad gift situations. But in this situation, I think I wouldn't even look at, I think I would just try to play dumb with it all. Don't worry about it. You have made a wish list, so it's not like you don't kind of know what's coming anyway.
Mm.
I would be annoyed about it, but maybe make it into more of a joke between you and your spouse. Like,
yeah.
Those are kind of fun to have, honestly. It almost might pay for itself, and the joy you'll get talking about it with your spouse later. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Again? That's fun. All right. Before we continue on, from our new sponsor, an incredible company called Upsy.com. I don't know if you knew this, but many retailers mark up warranties on the items you buy anywhere from 1 to 500%. In fact, most people don't realize it's where most big box retailers make the majority of their profits. Meanwhile, you have no idea what's covered by your warranty, and you know that receipt is going to wind up in a shoebox in your closet, if you're lucky, never to be seen again. Thankfully, there is a better way. Upsy was started by a guy who learned the ins and outs of the warranty industry and was tired of consumers getting screwed at the register. So this company will save you up to 70% on warranties versus traditional retailers, so you know exactly what's covered before you buy. Better yet, it will save all of your warranties and receipts in one convenient place. You will never lose them. You can always go back for reference, and you can even use Upsy to protect the items you buy, including holiday gifts, weeks after you buy them. So if you guys are going to buy any, special big ticket items during this post Christmas, because I have a list of things I'm going to buy because that's when stuff goes on sale. Electronics, house goods, this is the time to buy them. It's after Christmas, before New Year's. Go to Upsy before you do. Do some research. Check it out. And if you head to Upsy, that's UPSIE.com, and use the promo code MARRIED, you'll get 10% off your very first purchase. That's Upsy.com, promo code MARRIED. And with the free Upsy app, you can purchase coverage, access your account information, and start the claims process all with the push of a button. Bonus! All right. Okay. So, onward ho. I'll try to keep it short and sweet. I'm a 28-year-old with 2 children, 6 and under. Their father and I are no longer together. I've been with my current boyfriend for the past 2.5 years. We've been living together 7 months. He is a great guy for the most part, but since we've been living together, things have really started to drive me nuts. The thing that bothers me the most is he's so freaking messy and lazy. He will literally go to heat up leftovers and just leave the container the leftovers were originally in just sitting in the counter on the counter in front of the microwave. He will leave his uneaten food sitting next to the couch and his drinks all over. It's frustrating. He does have ADHD, which supposedly is why he's such a mess. But having small children, I already have to clean up after, and now him, I feel like for the most part, I'm constantly in a bitter state because I'm always cleaning up and it doesn't seem to bother him to just sit there and watch me while he does nothing. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and let me just tell you how the day has gone so far. Ooh, I love this. My children and I have been up since 8. I've been cleaning literally since then. My boyfriend continued to sleep until about 11 and then woke up and took his dog to the park for an hour. I made his food, and when he got back, he hopped in the shower and told me he wasn't hungry when he got out, so I threw it away. He then grabbed his Xbox out of the front room and took it to the bedroom to play it. He has been in the bedroom all day and barely came out to hang with everyone else. I have done dishes, cleaned the bathroom and front room, and he has not offered to help or anything. It makes me so angry. I've mentioned this to him, and he says he understands, but always turns it into him wanting to feel wanted sexually. Because if he did... because if he did, he would be more willing to help to do things to make me happy. But when he doesn't help, it makes me resent him and not even want to be around him. What can I do to fix this? I do everything for my children. And on top of it, all the cleaning, grocery shopping, etc. I'm exhausted and just want my boyfriend to help carry half the weight. Please help this tired mom out.
Can a guy get a BJ in here or what?
Don't even joke about that. I mean, it is funny.
I mean...
It's just so ridiculous.
So, ridiculous. Listen, like, clean more. If we were getting frisky more...
That is bananas.
What an obnoxious argument. You got to bounce. You don't have to bounce. Fucking, you need to kick this guy to the curb.
I agree.
See you later, bro.
To me, it's more than the cleaning. That's a huge part of it. Here are the reasons that I think that she might need to bounce.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to say this, but the response to you bringing this up to him that he would be better about it if you were putting out more.
It's really fucked up.
Is really fucked up. It says a lot about this guy. And secondly, and I know that, you know, family dynamics are different for everyone. I don't know what it's like having a blended family, but as a mom, if I were dating someone who was going to come live in my home and join my family, that's not having that is a deal breaker. Like having someone who's living their own life and then we're kind of together, but then I'm also like a mom and we're in the home with my kids. Like the fact that he's sleeping until 11 and then getting on his Xbox in his room means he is not part of your family. He's not interested in joining the family. To me, it sounds like he just wants to live in this house, do whatever the fuck he wants, and get laid. And I'm not discounting that he enjoys time with the writer in her, and I'm sure he likes her kids fine, but he's not, like, for me personally, if I were in this writer in her's position and dating someone and having them move into the home with my kids, it would require them taking on a role in the family. And this guy is not doing that.
2.5 years in.
I'm not having it.
See ya.
And that's hard to say. I know the kids have gotten used to, you know, like there's, but honestly, for kids to have this guy sleeping all day and then playing Xbox all day and not cleaning up after himself, and like their mom is cleaning up after him all day, I don't think that's a great example either. I mean, I know it's not like abusive or anything, so this isn't like a dire bounce, but personally, I wouldn't put up with it. And I don't really think you can change someone. I mean, the next step for me would be couples therapy, and it would be the cleaning stuff. But more than that, it would be like, be a part of our family and don't use sex as leverage to just do the bare minimum. Like,
hey, this is the first time I think I've ever said this on the show. Save your money for the couples therapy and just get rid of this guy.
Wow. All right. And this is coming from someone, I would say, when we were first dating, not the cleanest.
Yeah. No, but that's, yeah, that's the cleaning thing's not the big, that's not the huge issue I'm hearing here.
What would you, do you agree with me, sort of?
Oh, I definitely see the family thing. I think the biggest thing is the, like, if you gave me sex more, I would do more in the house. That, to me, is like, that's abusive to me.
I agree.
Yeah.
I honestly do.
It's so messed up.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh, he just sounds like a fucking annoying, lazy guy sleeping in.
Okay. Well, this is a great thing just to read after that.
Okay.
I don't even know. I don't think this is a question. It's just a comment that I included in here.
Okay.
Hope you're both good. Long, long, long time listener and one time emailer. And I wanted to follow up with you. I emailed you guys back in 2014. Wow. Well, I guess we've been doing this for 8 years. So I guess it.
We've been doing Totally Married for 8 years?
No. Totally Lame.
Oh, okay.
Which, by the way, when Totally Lame relaunches, I'm going to replay. Like, the first week is going to be 7 in a row old Totally Lames that I'm going to, like, do an intro for.
Oh, that's fun.
But I'm, the last one before our first official episode is going to be the very first podcast episode we ever recorded. It's just the two of us.
Oh, that's fun.
I can't wait to hear, like, what we were like.
Yeah.
What it's about. Anyway, so I emailed you guys back in 2014 about my jealous and depressed boyfriend and how to help him. Andy said bounce. I got pretty mad, sorry, and sort of tuned out of the podcast for a while. Fast forward about a year, I came to the same conclusion myself and we broke up. Easily the best thing I've ever done. I got a new job, moved to a new country. I've met a few cool guys, no life buddy, but trust. I've had fun dating and experiencing life. I've been getting back into your podcast lately and wanted to drop you a line to say, even though I didn't agree with you at the time, bounce was totally the right move. I never would have done all these things if I'd stayed with him. Wish I'd listened the first time. When Andy says bounce, I guess you bounce.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's some real talk.
Man, thank you for that. That's so exciting. What a cool update. Love it. All right, guys. Well, on that note, I feel like that's the right place to end this episode.
Yeah.
You know?
Feels right to me.
Okay. So, Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas to everyone. We're sending you all love. I want to send a huge shout out to each of you who are listening, particularly those who have been with us for a very long time. It means so much to us. Like, this podcast journey, which continues and will continue, has been pretty incredible. And like that update, and then I got an update on the Facebook page recently that blew my mind about a woman who was really depressed, heard in a question someone mentioned that they were in a roller derby team, had never even really heard about it. And then this woman looked up a roller derby team near her, started it, lost 60 pounds, like found joy in her life, no longer depressed.
That's cool.
These updates mean the world to me, and it's not really anything we're doing. I think it's just the listeners engaging, and I think it's an amazing community. So
none of it would happen without us, though.
I guess that's true. But please stay connected with us as we continue forward. I want to like beef up our social stuff. I want to make these podcasts bigger and better so that we can reinvest whatever we make into getting live shows together. We have some big plans. So
nice.
Check me out on Instagram at Elizabeth Lame, on Twitter at Totally Lame. Andy, you are where?
I'm at Dr. Rosen Rosen on Twitter and Instagram.
And you have, I'm going to say it. I mean, you have some, you're going to have a big year, I think. You're going to have some fun music stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. All right, guys. Well,
happy birthday, Jesus.
Happy birthday, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And we love you, our listeners. And we will be talking to you next year.